All right, guys, welcome to this first edition of Relentless. I am Sandra Weber, owner of Integrative Bodywork by Sandra Weber. And the whole concept behind this podcast is to provide you a platform of practitioners and specialists and individuals that are striving their hardest to be conquering the mental, physical, and emotional sides of life. Because we can't separate ourselves out into those individual parts and be successful. We have to look at all of those components to be a completely happy and truly healthy person. So this first episode of Relentless, I have a very good friend of mine, and I think we both kind of keep each other in check.
Definitely.
A little bit? Yeah.
For sure.
So Leonard Wheeler is a very good friend of mine and mentor, like I said, and helps me stay on track with a lot of things. And the reason I had him in today is because of the concept that he has in his book, Beyond the Locker Room. And reading this book, people like to read. They like to get some wellness coaching, some self-help books, but this is different. This is like an altar call at the end of every chapter. Because what happens in this book after every chapter is basically like a journal. Mm-hmm. So you give a lot of great content and a lot of great thought, but then you say, okay, now here's a question for you. How do you put this into your life? What does it look like for you? Mm-hmm. So first, let's just talk a little bit about the book. How did you even come up with that? Because I haven't seen that before.
Well, first of all, I would just want to say thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being here.
And really, thank you for you setting the stage and being relentless, because that's not easy. Mm. You know, we can throw out words, but to live up to the word is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So I just commend you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And to get to the book, coming up with Beyond the Locker Room was really easy for me because I knew one day I was going to have to go beyond the locker room. Mm-hmm. And every time I played football from the age of 6, I had to go beyond that locker room.
Right.
To a different locker room. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted to do was just make it applicable to life. Right. And that's what they're going to be able to read and hear about. That's in the book.
And in the book, you do actually start from the beginning of your life.
I start from the beginning. And there was a lot at the beginning.
Right. And I think that's one of the important things that people need to understand, because people tend to look at someone and they make a judgment call or have a theory that they have it all together.
Yeah.
Or everything is easy for them, or they don't have the roadblocks that I have. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. Everyone has a different story and people have different degrees of difficulty, I think. But yeah. Just tell us, so starting from the beginning.
Okay.
So tell us how you got, when you were young, even just go back to the very beginning.
So
tell us who Leonard really is.
I was born by the river.
He told me he was going to sing. He told me he was going to do it.
So I started playing football when I was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was a compulsive stutterer my entire life.
Wow.
And I was a compulsive stutterer. And so when I went into speaking, people that really knew me from my hometown, they were like, it's a miracle. Somebody lay hands on him. Oh, my goodness. That dude can talk. Right? And so it was really one of those things that allowed me to really look at people and say, everyone has a beginning.
Right.
And your beginning sets the stage sometimes for you to learn how to overcome, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so at the age of 6 years old, I remember being on my dad's shoulders, and he was carrying me to football practice, to my first practice mm-hmm. ever. And, you know, sometimes we don't really know the role that our parents play, our people play in our lives until we really reflect back right. to the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I remember my dad carrying me. I'm crying. He's like, you're going to get out there and play football. And I really got out there and I started outrunning everybody. Mm-hmm. And I started to realize, gosh, you know what? I'm pretty good at this game. At the age of 6 years old. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that happened at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And coming from your family situation, how did that look for you?
My mom and dad divorced when I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and at that time, you really don't know what you don't know.
Right.
But I remember seeing my mom cry when I was 8 years old, and I went up to her and I said, "Mom, one day I'm going to play in the NFL and you're not going to cry anymore."
Oh.
But, you know, I didn't know playing in the NFL wouldn't keep her from crying.
Right, right, right. Yes.
But I just knew that I wanted to take care of my mom.
Try to make her happy.
Try to make her happy. Mm-hmm. You know, I have some amazing siblings. That I grew up with. They are absolutely amazing. My sisters, my brother, they are awesome. And growing up in the projects teaches you a lot of lessons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one lesson is I don't want to come back here.
Right.
You know, I don't want this for my family. Mm-hmm. Even though you know that those rough times are going to create some
made
real
you who you are.
And they're going to make you relentless.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So coming from that experience and getting into professional sports, the whole basis of this book is figuring out how to go from one season of life to the other.
Yeah.
I loved one of the concepts that you had in the book was the locker room.
Yes.
And how important the locker room is, not only to the athlete. And if you're listening to this and you think right off the bat, I'm not an athlete, this is not for me, this actually is totally for you. Because an athlete, by the definition, what the concept of an athlete is, and what I'm talking about today, is what other greater event is there to train for than life?
Right.
What bigger stage is there to be prepared for and to perform the best at than your life that you're given with the people that you have to influence?
Yes.
So we know an athlete, quote unquote, is someone that plays a sport, but that sport comes to an end. For most people, it ends in high school. For the very few, it ends after college. For even a very smaller percentage, it ends after a professional career.
For sure.
So as an individual, we are looking at how we are going to train, because what you do every day either sets you up for failure or success, for health or unhealthiness.
Right.
So when you talked about the locker room for an athlete, give us a framework of that to start off with for the athlete, to give us a place to start, and then we'll talk about that more in the typical individual's life is trying to do this training I'm talking about.
So you're exactly right that everybody's an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And what being an athlete does, it's a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't think you're an athlete, a lot of times you're not going to act like one.
Right.
Even if you're playing sports.
Correct.
And so so it's a mindset. Mm-hmm. And it really begins with your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you learn how to think, and one thing that I tell athletes all the time is that you have transferable skills that you're learning every time you play a sport. That these skills are going to transfer into the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. They're going to teach you how to overcome, persevere, get back up, get back in the game, dust yourself off. Don't have pity parties. If you have one and then get up.
Right.
Right. And so that's what the locker room does. The locker room is a safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
It is a place that is a sacred place that you go in and you create the camaraderie. You can laugh, you can burp. You know, you can talk about each other. You can, you know, you can fart. You know, you can, I mean, you can do whatever you want in the locker room because this is who you are.
Right.
Yeah. And the people in your locker room become your fans.
Mm-hmm.
They become your confidants, your constituents, your comrades, people that are fighting for you with you and that believe in who
the
you
common
are.
Goal.
Yeah. They create a common goal for you and they help you understand how to create your next locker room. As well. And so, and I know we're going to get into what some of those things are.
Yeah. So I want to caveat for just a second, because you made me think of something. I know a lot of people that are going to be listening have children. And having the ability to put them in sports is great. If you don't play sports, if a child's not interested in that, there's something they can become part of.
Yes.
That they can get that team encouragement and that the idea, like you were talking about, people behind you to support you. And I think that's what's lacking in a lot of situations that we hear in the news.
Yeah.
People don't have a support system, and we need to, as parents, be very conscious of that. So give a little bit of advice for the non-athlete. You know, what should they be looking for as parents, helping our kids be the most successful they can from the beginning?
So parents that don't have their kids in sports, I always encourage them to have your kid involved in a group of something.
Mm-hmm.
So that, just like you said, it creates that teamwork to where they're not so self-indulged mm-hmm. to where they're thinking that everything's about me. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to coach my daughter in soccer for mm-hmm. years. And I used to tell the parents, we lose on this team. Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't get a trophy all the time. That's not reality of life.
Hold, stop the presses.
Uh-oh, stop the presses. I triggered something.
Angry people because everybody gets a trophy, Leonard.
Of course, everybody right? gets one, but they don't deserve it.
So we need to change. I totally agree with you. And I think we're seeing a shift because society tries to think up new mm-hmm. fangled things all the time, new right. shiny ideas and concepts. And I think the new term is lawnmower parenting. They get everything out of the way for their child.
Right.
We obviously agree that's not the best idea, correct?
It's not the best idea. And the reason I used to tell parents that your kid would lose because in life, they're not going to always win. Mm-hmm. And if they've always been taught to win in everything that they do and that you're going to get a reward, even if you don't put forth the right effort, mm-hmm. you're going to still get the same reward as a person that was out there putting forth the good fight, fighting the good fight. No.
Right.
No. And so even my daughter, I mean, Lindsay is a senior at Georgia Tech. She has been one of the hardest workers I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, she is a grinder. And I was hard on her. Mm-hmm. I was hard on her because I used to tell her all the time, baby, if you think I'm hard on you, you wait until you get to college.
Because they don't love you.
Yeah, because she went to college. She was like, Dad, it's real out here. Right. I was yeah. like, yeah, it's yeah. real because they're coming to you from a different perspective.
Results.
So what they're doing is they're stretching our kids. Once they're not around mom and dad, mm-hmm. you can't cuddle them. Mm-hmm. You can't pat them on the head. You can't pat them on the back. And they have to take what you've taught them into the real world.
And that completely correlates into what I'm trying to help our listeners find, because we all have stressors in life.
Right.
And the stressors don't go away because our kids don't go away for a couple right. of years.
For sure.
So we have to step back and look how we are training our home, our yeah. children. The dynamic of what that looks like breeds a result.
Yeah.
So even taking a step back and trying to figure out how to have less mental stress, less physical stress in building a home and a family is like building a team. So how are you training this children gives you the result, either positive or negative.
Right. And you take your lessons mm-hmm. that you're continually putting forth out in the universe, you're bringing them home. Mm-hmm. Like everything that I'm doing with the Panthers or the Vikings or the Bengals, whatever habits I'm creating, I'm bringing those same habits to my kid. Mm-hmm. So what I have to do is start to practice what I want them to become.
Right.
And sometimes that's difficult when we don't have people in our lives that's telling us the right things either.
Right.
So as parents, we have to have mentors mm-hmm. and people that are lifting us up just like we're encouraging our kids.
Yeah. So that brings me to the next topic, which is the locker room of the home. So when we're talking about the locker room, because we leave, if we're in sports, we leave the sports, we leave mm-hmm. that locker room setting. But what your concept is in your book is you still have the locker room. But at this point, you're not an athlete that's been traded to a team, or you have to walk into a situation with a coach you don't like or a team that you don't know. You've chosen your spouse or your partner. You've had children. The locker room of the home should be the first place we start to get the strength that we need to be that successful athlete.
Yeah.
So how do you envision transitioning from that sports mentality of the team locker room to the family locker room?
Well, that's a great question, because when I left the game, my last team was the Panthers, and I remember coming home and, you know, they were looking at me like, hey, you're home. And I was looking at them like, hey, I'm home. You know, like, what are you doing home?
Like you? I don't know.
What are you doing home? What? How long have you been home? I've been home as long as you've been home. And so you start to really have to understand, how am I going to revamp my thinking? How am I going to continue to be consistent in my communication? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things that you have to die to. Mm-hmm. When it comes to your flesh.
Right.
And you can't always try to be right, even though, you know, sometimes we're always trying to be right and yeah. what we're saying is right and what we're thinking is right. You have to compromise. And that's what the locker room and home does. Mm-hmm. The locker room and home is, I have to learn to compromise, and I have to learn to be consistent, and I have to learn to shut up and listen. Mm-hmm. And not think that I have all the answers.
Right. That's hard to do.
And sometimes I'm telling you, building that locker room at home mentality mm-hmm. can be difficult at times if you don't allow your flesh to be separate from what needs to be.
Right. And I think there's another correlation, you know, with there's so many good correlations with an athlete. So that for an athlete, there's certain things that are absolute poison for their performance, smoking, drinking,
right.
all those type things. I think what you're saying is in the home, pride is poison.
Yes.
Unforgiveness.
Pride is like weeds in the grass.
Yeah.
You can't see it.
Right.
But in from a distance, it looks like grass. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when you get close up to it, It's crabgrass. Yeah, it's weed.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so that's a great takeaway from this is if you are wanting to have that locker room, that safe haven,
yeah.
you have to check yourself. You know, you have yeah. to make sure that you are a contributing factor and not causing more stress because of how you're handling
yeah.
your selfishness, basically.
And you have to allow yourself to be checked. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes when we check ourselves, we're like, no, I'm good. I check myself. No. Let someone else check you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's absolutely. Always different.
Yeah. So talking about, you know, being in the home with a locker room, talking about being an athlete, when the worst happens, mm-hmm. when the athlete gets that injury,
yeah.
when a spouse gets that devastating illness,
yeah.
that is a transition that most people aren't prepared for because we just don't think bad things are going to happen to us.
We don't. And I mean, you know, I was blessed to play 5 years with the Bengals where I was drafted and went to the Vikings, played a year. And I played all on turf, by the way. Where it was
Is
like
that on record?
It was like carpet. It's like carpet on concrete.
Yes.
Truly.
Yeah.
And then when I came to the Panthers, I blew out my knee on grass, you know, in my 8th season. And so here I am laying on the field. I'm like, did I just blow out my knee? And then in your head, you're thinking, am I going to ever play again? Mm. Like, is this over for me? Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing that happens in your home. You know, it can be divorce, mm-hmm. which is brutal.
Yes.
It could be someone getting sick, like you said, which is, we don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell people that you really have to live a life with love and grace. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a lot of grace, and you have to have a lot of love, mm-hmm. and you have to have a lot of respect for yourself and for other people.
Yeah. And that's something we have to constantly be training at. And that's the concept
yes.
of everyone is an athlete. It's like, I don't like to use the word diet because I don't like diets, but it's like eating healthy.
Yeah.
You don't ever win at that.
Right.
Because you have to get up and do
it
again.
You have to do it every day. Yeah. You have to do it every day.
So that's the concept of relentlessness and mm-hmm. having just that deep-seated desire no matter what. Have you seen... In the work that I do, it's very common for me to see two people come in as clients and they have almost the exact same history, yeah. health history, and they have almost the exact same symptoms. And through treatment, I see them go two completely different ways. Mm-hmm. One very successful, they come out great in a few weeks or months, and the other stays where they are.
Right.
When people get stuck, I think mm-hmm. that's a concept that I've talked to a lot of people about. You know, we have those things that are game changers
yeah.
that are very difficult, and people get stuck in those. How, you know, in the work that you do with people, because that's what you do is you coach executively, you coach personally.
Right.
How do you help someone get unstuck?
You know, there are a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different strategies. Mm-hmm. I tell people that the answers are always in the right questions, mm. right? If you learn to ask the right question, then the answer is within the person. One of the things that I do is it's very difficult for me to see people talk about how successful they want to be, and I don't see them move. Mm-hmm. Like, that's very frustrating for me. And I want them to know that it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, Sandra, we live so much in our past. Mm-hmm. Like, mom did this to me. Dad did this to me. I can't believe my sister did this to me. Do you know what happened to me when I was a kid? I mean, all of those become excuses at some point.
Right.
And at some point, we have to learn to put an expiration date mm-hmm. on our past. Mm-hmm. Because you can only use it for so long.
Right.
At that, and at some point, it becomes just your excuse. Mm-hmm. It becomes your juggernaut. Mm-hmm. It becomes that barrier, that really, that fear, that false evidence appearing real,
right.
that you don't want to really step over because of the pain that you remember that it caused you. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I tell people that if you want to really get to the next level, you have to create some level of accountability with someone else
right.
in your life. Just like the word says, iron sharpens iron, so as one man sharpens another. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, I'm telling you, we can overcome a lot of barriers that are not real barriers within our own mindset.
Because we're living in a different, we have put ourselves in a box.
Yes.
And seen our identity as that thing.
Yes.
Whereas our life, our bodies, our families
yes.
have continued on and we keep ourselves back.
Yes.
And I think one of the even bigger detriment that causes, obviously you're holding yourself back from
right.
progressing. But just like we were talking about children earlier, I always use the example with like you see 3 and 4 year old boys, like there's a lot of YouTube videos or little things that come up that these boys are just, I mean, when their team loses, you'd think they were dying.
Right.
How does a 3 or 4 or 5 year old boy even know who a team is?
Mm-hmm.
Even know anything about that?
Yeah.
They're emulating what their parents do and say.
For sure.
So not only in these situations where we're stuck in the when that worst scenario happens, mm-hmm. ourselves,
yeah.
our children see that.
They
so
emulate what we do.
We train them along the
yes.
way of living in the pain that we keep bringing up because it's the stuff's usually over.
Yes.
So how do you get that broad with your clients? Do you get them to understand it's not only you that you're affecting?
Right.
And that's, I would think, an important point.
Well, and
I grasp.
I think you make a lot of great points. And, you know, the Bible says train up a child in the way that they should go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And even if they go away from it, they're going to come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I hold to those principles just in general because, you know, whenever it comes to a client, I always talk to clients about legacy.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to leave a legacy, what are you going to leave a legacy of debt? You're going to leave a legacy of wealth. You're going to leave a legacy of making excuses. You're going to leave, what are you leaving a legacy of? Mm-hmm. And what I tell people all the time is this. They're like, well, I'm not leaving a legacy. Yes, you are. If you're alive, you're leaving a legacy.
Right.
You're leaving a legacy of something.
Yes.
And you have to decide what you want that something to be. And you really have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, keep it simple. It's yeah. just like a bounce pass.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of me doing a behind the back pass, I can just do a bounce pass.
Every
that's going to give you the same
basketball coach
thing.
That's ever coached is saying, yes, the fundamentals.
Yes. Just leave it. Just go back to the fundamentals
yeah.
of life so that you can continue to thrive and become relentless. Relentless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because relentless is doing the same thing right over and over
right.
and creating that consistency
mm-hmm.
so that you train your mind on how you really want to live.
Right.
And then as your kids see that, they emulate it. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, they put it to work.
Absolutely. And we have control over our locker room.
Yes.
We...
Do not surrender your locker room.
Right.
You can allow the opposition to come into your locker room if you want to.
Right.
But guess what? They're gonna use your bathroom. They're gonna eat your food. They're gonna come in, they're gonna take over.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have to do is you have to protect not only your locker room, but who's in your locker room.
Right.
Like you have to understand that I'm going to fight for you.
Yes.
And that's one thing that, so in our locker room, you don't have to like people.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time, do you think I really have to like you to go out on the field and play for you and win for you?
Right.
No. I love to win,
mm-hmm.
but I love to win as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And as we learn to love to win as a team,
mm-hmm.
we'll fight for people we don't even like.
Right.
Like, I don't have to like you
mm-hmm.
to fight for you.
Mm-hmm. And that brings me back to a quote in your book that growth is never a solo endeavor.
Yes.
I think a lot of people think, I'm an island. I function as an island. I don't need anyone else.
Self-made
millionaires. They've been hurt in the past, and they have this idea, I don't need anyone.
I know. And that's a lie.
Right.
Because even when people go, I'm a self-made millionaire, you're lying.
Right.
If you have a product and somebody's purchasing it, you're not self-made.
Right.
And I don't care if you're doing anything to make money,
mm-hmm.
you are not self-made.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone is purchasing or buying into you
mm-hmm.
or into your product. So it's okay to surrender to that.
To not have the pride.
Oh, man, it's so tough.
It's a big one. It's a big one.
Well, because hurt is real.
Yes.
Like it is real. Mm-hmm. Wounds are real. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're wounded, you know, you go, okay, I'll just put a Band-Aid over it. Mm-hmm. Or I'll just cover it up so no one can see it. Mm-hmm. But the wounds are real.
Right.
Like they're real. And you really have to work through those wounds, but you can't do it alone.
Right. And that comes to honesty. We have to be honest not only with ourselves,
yeah,
but with those people, first of all, that we have in that locker room of our home, those people closest to us. But then as we start to accept that we need other people, mm-hmm, and we start choosing other people to be in that team with us,
yeah,
those people that we do choose as mentors or coaches or influences in our lives, we have to make the right choice because misery loves company.
Yeah.
And that's what I see a lot of times is, you know, again, with my clients, they have these things going on in their lives, mm-hmm, and they are bad, or they were bad. They happen and they're over. Health issues aside, because people that have
right,
serious
understood.
Health issues, it goes on. But I think a lot of times misery loves company, and we find people that have had maybe some similar circumstances, and they just congeal,
right,
and then they stay stuck. They're on a team, but yeah, they're stuck together. They're stuck in, yeah, that mindset together. So how important is it for us to be conscious of selecting that team?
You have to be intentional, because if you look at your five closest friends, you'll see your own success. Mm-hmm. Like, that's factual. Mm-hmm. And I've cut out people in my life a lot. I've cut out people in my life that have, when I have a goal, mm-hmm, or a big dream, mm-hmm, you can't share your big dreams with everybody. Mm-hmm. T.D. Jakes talks about it. He says that's a difference in confidants, constituents, and comrades. Mm-hmm. Comrades are the ones that are fighting against what you're fighting against.
Right.
Right? Constituents are the ones that are fighting for what you're fighting for. Mm. And confidants are the ones that are fighting for you.
Right.
And what you have to realize is that you might only have 2 to 3 confidants in your entire lifetime, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
But it's okay for you to know the difference, because sometimes constituents can come across as confidants.
Right.
So you feel like you can tell them everything. You're like, let me tell you. And the next thing you know, it's all across Charlotte, right?
Right.
Well, you have to protect your ideas. Mm-hmm. You have to protect your goals and your visions, mm-hmm, and your dreams. And because God has given them to you for you to protect them.
Right.
And we have to do a good job of doing that.
Which goes back to teaching your children this.
Because yes,
you don't want to wait to learn this till after the fact. I saw someone, we'll talk about social media in a minute, because that's another hot topic for, mm-hmm, me. Someone posted, don't message anyone when you're half asleep in the middle of the night. Wait till you're awake, because they sent something out on accident,
yeah,
and it got out. And I have a 17-year-old daughter, and I told her from very, very young, don't tell people your business.
Yeah.
Don't tell people your personal stuff, because especially with girls, they really desire to have that cluster of friends and those close, mm-hmm, peers. But girls are nasty. Girls are really nasty, and it doesn't get any better when you get older. They just get even worse in how the results of their nastiness. But we have to teach our children these things,
yeah,
so they come out not making the mistakes and learning how we learned, which was
right,
by failing at that.
And, I mean, Sandra, you know what? So when Lindsay was going into college, you know, there were some things that I knew that she was going to take from me, mm-hmm, right? Or take from her mom, mm-hmm, or take from her grandparents or friends. But there were some things that I knew she was going to have to learn on her own.
Right.
And, you know, even though you have preached this message over and over, it's like, girl, let me tell you, I put it down. I told her everything that I knew. She's going to be the perfect kid. Oh, my God, it's on. And then what they do is they get into the real world, mm-hmm, and you know, they have to sort it out. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to really open up their minds and open up their hearts, mm-hmm, to people to see if they're real, mm-hmm, right? And then sometimes you're going to get wounded,
right,
in the midst of opening up your heart and really trying to believe the best in other people.
Right.
And you'll start to see from life experiences mm-hmm. that, gosh, I got to sort through this. Mm-hmm. And only when you go through those moments can you start to sort it through and see, whoa, okay, I need to shut up right now. Or whoa, you know what? I don't really trust that person. Or whoa, you know what? I love that person as my friend. Mm-hmm. You really start to sort through who you can really call your teammate in the locker room.
Wisdom comes through adversity.
For sure.
Yeah. So I think going back to mindset, I think you said mindset is king. That mindset of even when bad things happen.
Yes.
Because they are going to happen.
They're
going to
happen.
We are imperfect beings. We are imperfect beings.
Yeah.
Even the best of us have bad days, say things we don't mean.
Right.
Which is why we should, along the way, be garnering the trust in people to that we can go back to them and say, I'm sorry.
Right.
And I had a bad day. But look,
even going back to say, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. those words, I'm sorry, they have to pass through a mouth of humility.
Right.
And if you don't have a mouth of humility, I'm sorry usually doesn't come out.
Right. Correct. Pride.
Yeah, that
it's
pride.
It's a common topic. Yeah,
it's a common topic.
Yeah. So talking about having a game plan for life, mm-hmm. you know, setting yourself up for success in these big areas, mental, emotional, physical. I think that's what, I don't know who's made the saying, you never plan to fail, you fail to plan.
Plan to, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what people, they just, you know, their life happens so fast.
Right.
We think we're going to plan for things.
Yeah.
But then we go through college, we meet someone, we get married, we have kids, and people have a relationship and they never even discussed what their parenting styles are.
Right.
So how important is it for us to really, from an early age, decide what our goals are and how to see ourselves in the future, yeah. even though we're not mature enough to make some long-term decisions? Mm-hmm. If someone's listening in their 20s, 30s,
yeah.
how do we help them and give them some of the wisdom that we now have learned to help their way be better through our eyes?
Do you remember when your kids were little that sometimes they used to put on your shoes?
Mm-hmm.
And they used to walk around in your shoes and like, look at my feet, look at my shoes, yeah. right?
Yes.
What happens is that we create an imagination,
mm-hmm.
right? We forget to imagine. We forget to dream. We forget that, you know what, all of these things could actually come to fruition if we continue to imagine that they can mm-hmm. and hope that they can. And then the action follows up mm-hmm. behind the imagination. But what happens when we get older, we become very mature.
Right.
And we start speaking like adults. And we're like, listen, I am very mature. I'm very educated
right.
here.
Yes.
And you don't understand because you're a kid. Mm-hmm. No, it's because I am a kid that I'm not afraid.
The childlike faith.
Yes, yeah. Because when we get older, we get scared.
Right.
We start shrinking back and we stop pushing forward mm-hmm. towards something that's a lot bigger. When I was a kid, I thought that I could become a professional athlete.
Right.
Like, I was like, you know what? I want to play professional football.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, I want to be as successful after the game mm-hmm. that I am playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my imagination. I am pushing hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, and if people want to be on my team, they're going to have to push hard as well.
Yes. And that's going back to choosing and being very intentional
about choosing the right
about
teammates.
Who the teammates are
yes.
in your life. I do want to talk about social media
okay.
because it's such, I mean, it's such a...
It's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere.
No.
And it's such a great thing.
Yeah,
it can be such a great thing.
It
can be an amazing thing.
Yeah.
But as I said earlier, there's some things that are just poison for athletes, smoking, mm-hmm. drinking, all those things. It can be poison for yeah. your life, for your relationship. In a personal example, for me, when I'm dealing with clients, I have some ladies that are having trouble getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a season, in an age where all of their friends are pregnant, all of their sisters are present,
yeah.
everybody's pregnant. So, and there's usually a lot of other health issues going on there. And so my encouragement to them is, you know what, take a 30-day and don't unfriend your people that you love. Just unfollow them. Because every time you look at that, it just tells you what you don't have. Mm-hmm. You get depressed again.
Right.
So it seems like a silly thing to have to manage an entertainment or a device that becomes
right.
a controller of your mind.
Yeah.
But that's the intention we're talking about and how you become relentless.
Yeah.
So in social media,
mm-hmm.
I know I see what you do and I see how you approach it. What do you think people should do with social media?
Well, remember the words, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yep.
We used to say that all the time. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Yes.
That is the biggest lie I've ever heard in my entire life. Yes. Words are hurtful.
Yes.
And you can't take them back.
Right.
They leave wounds. They echo in your head mm-hmm. after they've been said mm-hmm. over and over. One of the things I tell, let's go back to what we tell our kids. Mm-hmm. Whatever you put out there.
Because we're just big kids. That's all we are.
100. Whatever you put out there, it's there.
Yeah.
It's not going away.
Right.
And people are going to pass it around just like an altar plate. Mm-hmm. They're going to pass it around and they're going to put stuff in it. They're going to take things out of it. What do you want to be said about you mm-hmm. when people aren't around you? Mm-hmm. You know, what are people saying when you're not around them right. about you? Mm-hmm. And that's what social media does. Mm-hmm. Social media a lot. I'm telling you, I can name some people right now off the top of my head on social media to where they're putting out a lot of garbage.
Right.
And I look at it and I shake my head because I'm going, oh my God, I guess you don't care what people are really saying. And when people go, I don't care what people are saying about me, you're lying.
Right.
Because everybody cares what people are saying about them. Mm-hmm. It just depends on who's saying it. That's what they really want to say.
Right. And a bigger picture is they're wasting precious time and influence.
But isn't that the purpose? The purpose, if you don't have anything else to do,
right,
you will waste time.
That's very true.
Because when you don't have big visions or mm-hmm. big goals, mm-hmm. guess what? You waste time bickering
right.
about things you can't control mm-hmm. or about things you're not going to do anything about.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what you do. You waste time.
So we need to have a little bit of inward self exploring to see how much time are we wasting.
I think what they need to do is they need to listen to us.
That's right. That's why we're here.
They need to listen to what we're saying. Can you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? All right.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing to be aware of. And it's just, do you want to, I think it's a good decision to see two bowls. Yeah. And what are you putting your deposits in?
Yes.
Every day, your words, your actions, your time. Are you depositing it into healthy physical, healthy mental, healthy emotional
yes.
acts and, you know, services or whatever?
Yep.
You know, what are you depositing it in?
And how are you managing your days? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, what are you really doing?
Right.
Yeah, what are you intentional about doing?
Right.
Yeah.
Because we do waste a lot of time and energy on things that are just completely... There's no gain.
We waste
time
on the minutia of life
right.
sometimes, and mm-hmm. not the meat and potatoes of what we really need.
Right. So you talk a lot about your faith.
Yes.
How does that play a role in all of this?
So how my faith plays a role, Sandra, and you know, that's a great question, because people aren't gonna be who you want them to be all the time.
Right.
And understanding and coming from a place of grace, I'm coming from a place of love, mercy, and respect. That comes from my groundedness of being in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. It really does. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't have that as my foundation, I would, you know, there's no telling what I would do and say.
Right.
Sometimes.
Because we are all capable.
We're all capable.
None of us are.
All of us are capable. Yeah. And so really when you're falsely accused or when someone says something to you that's slanderous, mm-hmm. you know, how are you going to respond back to them? Mm-hmm. And understanding your faith allows you to guard your mouth.
Right.
And it allows you to guard your heart. Mm-hmm. It allows you to guard your mind. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm going into a corporation, I might not talk about my faith.
Right.
But the word says, let people see your faith by what you do.
Right.
Not necessarily by what you say.
Right.
And so when people see you walking, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. with that level of confidence and respect, you know, the word says walk bold.
Right.
Bold as a lion.
Right.
When you walk into a room, you ought to walk into a room as
like
if
you
own
it. That's right.
Like you walk into a room as if you own that thing.
Yes.
You know, because other than that, you're doing a disgrace to the right. Father mm-hmm. that created you mm-hmm. and created the room
right.
for you to walk into.
Yes.
So that's why when I walk into a place, not that you're walking into a place as arrogance,
right.
with arrogance,
right.
but you're walking into it with a level of confidence, mm-hmm. saying that, you know what, I am prepared to be in this place in this moment.
Mm-hmm. And that is a game changer.
It's a game changer for us and for our kids.
Right, because it all goes back to that influence we have over our locker room.
100%.
They will see what we do and they will emulate it.
Yes.
So what
do you want them to emulate? We're going to make mistakes.
Right.
And that comes back to the father as well.
And that humbleness.
And that humbleness and like, them not looking at us like God.
Right.
But looking at God like God and looking at us like we're human.
A child of God.
Like a child of God. Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So when we are thinking about that and how we make mistakes.
Yes.
Because we do. And we're perceived the wrong way sometimes. Sometimes purposefully, sometimes it's really not on purpose. We may have had that bad day and said the wrong thing to that one person and they took it to a further and ran with it.
Yes.
Which is we get ourselves in trouble of our own accord.
Call it the relay.
Yeah. But we did not mean it to happen.
Yes.
So what do you do? How do you handle when others are lying about you or just giving a wrong impression of what you intended or didn't mean to have go that far?
You know, sometimes you want to retaliate and sometimes you want to correct them and you want to clear your name. You're like, no, I didn't say that. Yes. Okay, I want to clear my name.
Yeah.
But you know, the Father tells us to be still sometimes and know that I'm God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to allow ourselves to be still, shut up, and allow other people to testify for you.
Wow.
Right. So other people will be your testimony.
Right.
Sometimes they will be your mouthpiece. You know, God gave Moses, Aaron to go into Israel. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And he gave Moses, Aaron so that Moses could speak on his behalf.
Right.
Right. Even though God was with them. Mm-hmm. That's how people are with us. People are going to speak on your behalf and they're going to clear your name. Mm-hmm. What we have to do is we have to have faith in knowing that they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But knowing that God is going to allow it to happen.
Right. And you also talked about that in our faith and thinking of those big pictures and those fundamental things, we often are waiting for God to do something for us.
Move!
Right.
Yes. So, God is saying move.
Yes.
He's saying, hold on. If you have faith, you know, in chapter 3 of James, it says, you tell me you have faith. I show you my faith by what I do. What he's saying is that I'm going to move. I'm going to show you so much of my faith that I'm going to get up off of my butt and I'm going to move.
Yeah.
I'm not going to keep using God as a crutch
by
saying, no, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, the Lord is gone. Like he just moved. Like he's waiting.
He left.
He's waiting on you to move. Yeah. Like he's waiting on you to take some action. He's waiting on you to read the book. He's waiting on you to write the book. He's waiting on you to start the business. He's waiting on you to stop using excuses. Stop using your wife or your husband or your kids as an excuse for you not to move.
Right.
That's what the Father is waiting on. He wants us to get in the game.
Yes.
And not to just look from the sideline.
Right. And that goes back to self-inspection.
Yes.
Seeing all that we have available to us.
Yes.
Yes, there's bad stuff. Yes, we've made mistakes. But what are all of the good things? That mindset, that training of the mind, that athlete that trains every day, no matter what.
Yes.
Even through the bad things, we constantly train toward the positive and keeping that as our forefront.
Yes. And Sandra, we have to be better at self-talk. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you saying to yourself to get exactly what you want? You will speak through what you're thinking.
Right.
Like, literally, you will speak through what you're thinking, and then you're going to start to act out.
Right.
What you're saying.
Right.
So you're going to start to believe what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. You're going to start to act that out. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to really, in your head, you're going to think this is who I am.
Right.
So if I am lazy, you're going to think, oh man, you know what? I'm lazy. You're going to start to talk lazy. You're going to start to lay down like a lazy person. And you're going to start to find lazy friends.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And so it literally will become your life at that moment. Mm-hmm. What I tell people to do is get up. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't hear anything else that we're saying right now, get your butt up.
Right.
Stop using excuses.
Yes. 100%.
I get a little passionate.
I love it. We have to be that way. And that's why I ask you to come here to help us because that's what you're...
It's game on.
Yeah,
like
it's time to play. It's relentless, no matter what.
It's relentless.
Yes.
It's time to play a bigger game.
Yes. And that game consists of equal parts of all.
Yes.
Mind, body, and spirit.
And every game has rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like every game has a set of rules.
Yes.
And even the Bible has a set of rules and a set of guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is the thing that once we study what the guidelines are, we play within the boundaries. Now, sometimes you're going to get out of bounds.
Right.
And sometimes you're going to have a penalty called on you.
Yes.
Sometimes you're going to jump off sides.
Take it.
Sometimes you're going to do those things, but it's all about how you come back. How do you bounce back from sometimes messing up?
Yep. Because it's funny to me that people think it's not going to happen.
Oh, it's inevitable. Like, you're not. You're,
like, where does that, how do you even think
you are not
it's
perfect?
Not
and don't put perfection on your children
right.
to make them feel like they can't have permission to mess up in life either.
Yes.
Because they don't have to have it all figured out. You don't.
Right.
Like, we don't have it
we
all
have
figured out.
We have less figured out than we did.
Yes. You know, but it's taken us a long time to figure out some of the things that we're still working through in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect our kids to have it all figured out at 16, 15, sometimes even 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, they should know better. Mm-hmm. Well, you should too.
Mm-hmm.
They're learning from us.
Yep. I had a pastor once say about men, and we women have our own issues, trust me, but he said about men becoming a man without ceasing to be a boy.
Oof,
always the boy on the inside, right?
It's always a boy on the inside. You know, Perry Tuttle, a good friend of mine, he said, and he asked an athlete one time, he said, when did you know the day you became a man? I was like, whoa. That is a deep question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, when did you know the day you became a woman?
Right.
Right? Like, what was the day that happened? I know.
I keep thinking, I mean, my daughter's 17. I need to grow up now.
So when you think about it, you're like, gosh, you know, when did that happen?
Right.
When was that?
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we don't know the answers to all the questions that are asked. And that's why the pursuit of being relentless is so important.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. No matter when the bad things come is the most important time to be relentless.
Yes.
And that's the time we have to, when we are weak, when we have those days, that's when we need to rely on the people that we have in our locker room.
Yes.
Which is why that choice is so important. So we've talked about a lot of topics, family and social media and athletes and all that kind of thing. What's something that you would want to leave the listeners with that they could do today? A couple of things they could implement right now. Because we talk about physical things, you know, just go get up and take a walk if that's where you have to start. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are, you can start this or change this about your mindset that will help them in their pursuit to be this relentless athlete of life.
I read this book called Make Your Bed.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning I make my bed.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my daughter that every morning I want you to make your bed.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I want her to make her bed and the reason I even read the book is a military guy that wrote the book, and he was amazing, is that every day you need to start off with a goal that you can complete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, start off with a made up bed.
Right.
That's a goal.
Yeah.
And then what I need them to do is that make life important to where you establish goals on a daily basis. What are you going to accomplish today? Sometimes don't just go to work and go, well, you know, I went to my 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
I came home and you know, I made some dinner because, you know, everybody's hungry. And then I went to bed and I'm doing the same thing tomorrow.
Right.
Really? Mm. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that really all you contributed throughout the day?
Mm-hmm.
We stifle ourselves,
right.
Sandra.
Yes.
We stifle ourselves because we're afraid to imagine.
Right.
Like, we need for them to be relentless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I can leave you with nothing else, is that make a game plan for your day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll create a game plan for your life. Right?
Right.
And I can tell them to make a game plan for your life. I need you to make a game plan for your day.
Right.
If you make a game plan for your day, you will make a game plan for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to leave a legacy, I need for you to make sure that you're moving.
Right.
I need you to move.
Yeah.
I need you to move.
That's awesome. So we had some people chime in before this podcast that had some questions for you.
Uh-oh.
Specifically.
Question.
Yes. I know. We're going to put you in the hot seat, Leonard.
Hot seat. Hold on. Let me flick my collar.
Oh, no. We're in trouble now.
I'm ready now. Bring it.
So Debbie Manjeni wants to ask you, so some of these people are already in positions of leadership.
Okay.
Or they're trying to help people.
Yes.
So in that position like that, she wants to know, how do you get a deeper commitment out of people?
First of all, Debbie, I would bring in someone like myself. Actually, I would just bring in me. but how do you get a deeper commitment?
Mm.
Debbie, you know, those people are seeing some inconsistencies or some consistencies
mm-hmm.
in the way that you or the people around them lead.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to get a commitment is to let them know how committed you are to them.
Mm-hmm.
Once people know how much you care, they will respond. They're not going to respond to as much of what you say,
mm-hmm.
but the way you make them feel,
right.
they're going to remember for a lifetime.
Right.
And so how do you want your people to feel?
Mm-hmm.
How do you want them to respond to you
right.
as their leader
mm-hmm.
or to your leaders around them? And if you take the focus off of them and you put the focus on the leadership, the people that are following the leadership will see some consistency. And I'm telling you, they will get on board with
They'll
consistency.
Come along.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like children.
They will.
They'll follow that
they're
example.
They're gonna emulate effective leadership.
Wonderful. And then Brad Robinson has a question for you. He is an entrepreneur, a speaker, a writer, and
All right.
he talking about that team. He wants to know, how do you go about forming that team of people around you when you're in that position? You do have that desire to help people, mm-hmm. forming that team, marketing that book,
yes.
getting out to speak to people.
Yes.
What did that look like for you?
So, Brad, you know, that's a great question. One of the things that I would tell you is to evaluate who you have on your team right now.
Mm.
Look at your five closest friends,
mm-hmm.
and you have to evaluate, are they helping me grow? Are they hindering my growth? Or can I trust them with my information?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing to play a bigger game?
Right.
And Brad, as you assess that, and even Brad, I want you to even think about this. Sometimes you're not going to be able to share the things that you're writing about with your family members, because sometimes people aren't ready. Don't assume that everybody's ready to hear your big idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Brad, and sometimes you have to go into your bat cave.
Yeah.
I call it my bat cave. I go into my bat cave and man, I work on my bat suit. And when I come out with that bat suit, it's on
yeah.
and popping, right? But sometimes you're going to be the only one in your bat cave.
Yeah.
And when you come out, Brad, that is when you know that you have a great product.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Brad, just look at the people around you, assess them,
mm-hmm.
assess yourself,
mm-hmm.
make sure that you're willing to grow just as much as you want the people around you to grow.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And then Tiffany Snyder wants to know, what, Leonard, is your biggest inspiration and how do you stay motivated?
My biggest inspiration is the Word of God.
Mm.
Like listening to the Father, listening to the Word on a daily basis. You know, I literally listen to something that's lifting me up every single day. 7 days a week, I'm listening to something. I'm reading something. I'm putting myself in a position to grow.
Yes.
And let me tell you, I do not surround myself with negative people.
Mm-mm.
And I don't allow myself to look at negative news channels and filling my head. What I'm putting in, I'm putting out.
Right.
And we have to know that it's input output.
Yes.
And so that's how I stay motivated.
Yes.
Is I put myself around people, around information that's going to keep me lifted up.
I love it. I love it. If everyone would just do that.
That's what I do.
If they would just
do
that.
That's what I do. But let me tell you, the enemy is going to try to infiltrate.
Yes.
Like old patterns are going to try to come at
yes.
you, Tiffany. And you have to make sure that you surround yourself with a shield of faith, that you have to put on the full armor of God. In Ephesians 6:10, put on the full armor. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the sword of the Spirit. Put on the shield of faith. And I'm telling you, when you do that, you're going to be prepared to go in and fight. Because sometimes, Tiffany, it's a freaking fight.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a fight. It's mm-hmm. not going to be all glorious.
Right.
Sometimes you're going to have to slice some things,
mm-hmm.
not physically. So don't get violent, but I'm talking about spiritually.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes you're going to have to fight things. And sometimes those things that you're fighting mm-hmm. are the things within your own head.
You know, I know Tiffany personally, and you have no idea how that is going to resonate with her.
Resonate.
She's going to be very, very thankful.
Tiffany, that it's all, girl.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
And that's going to be awesome. Last question for right now. We'll have more questions down the road for you. I am sure we're going to have to do a round two for this.
Round two. Ding, ding, ding.
Ty, and I did not pay him to ask this question.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
I did not coerce people. Of his own accord, Ty wants to know, Leonard, what does it mean to you to be relentless?
Ah, to be relentless, man, is to walk with courage. And even in the midst of fear, to allow my courage to overcome my fear. You know, just because you see someone talking, it doesn't mean that they're not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you see someone playing football, it doesn't mean that they're not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you see a business owner that's making $12 billion a year, it doesn't mean he's not afraid. What he's allowing himself to do is to face his fear.
Right.
Right. Just like David.
Yes.
When he ran towards Goliath, he says that David ran towards Goliath at the age of 10 to 12 years old. He ran towards a giant and he cut his head off.
Yep.
Don't go cut off heads, Dick. But I am telling you this, is that cut off the head of your fear.
Right.
Right. And create that relentless courage that God has given you as a foundation for you to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the things that I do in my life, I look around, I'm going, Lord, you know what? I want you to put me on the front line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want you to put me on the front line. And if I get shot at, I get shot at because it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have the courage not to shrink back.
Right.
And I'm going to step out on faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's game on after that.
That's the ending message, I think, for this podcast is game on.
What?
Let's arm wrestle.
Come on. Bring it.
No, I cannot agree with everything you said more. And it's what we need to hear every day to be the athlete of life and be successful in all of those components, the mental, emotional, physical. It's that relentless desire for the outcome that we want, but the activity and action of the Game On attitude that gets us there.
So I actually work with a company called Game On Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I love those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Steve Schimbaum and Blair and Chris and AJ, they're absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say Game On, I'm always thinking about them.
Yeah.
You know, because
those
I love
people
them.
You've selected to be in your life on purpose.
Those are people that are intentional about helping me grow.
Yeah.
And those are people I'm intentional about helping grow as well. Like people like Troy Vincent and Tracy Pearlman and Donna Vendarius. And I mean, those people, like I can go on. I can name an entire team of people around me. My mentor, David Gandy and David Hare. And like I can just name people off. Rich Campy. All those people are in my life because we're intentional about helping each other be successful in everything that we've called each other to be.
Yeah. And we all need that.
And that's how and Sandra Weber.
Yeah.
She's
you
a
left
beast.
Me off that list.
She's a beast. Do
I
not
was
mess
the most
around.
This girl, I was the last
is,
one.
This girl is a beast. Let me tell you, don't mess around. And then like Eugene Robinson, one of my best friends in the entire world. I mean, oh, man, I could just go on and on.
Yeah, and that's why
I love my people.
That's why people look at you as successful.
Yes.
And
Kim. Yeah, Kim and Lindsay.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You know, like they're fighters.
Right.
They're fighters.
Yep.
And so it's just, I'm just excited. So you guys forgive me out there.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I just
and
love.
And it's amazing. I've had a thought I've been carrying with me for a while. People look at us, look at you, you know, someone that's in their eyes successful or healthy or accomplishing and doing it.
Yeah.
I wish they would stop and talk to us for a few minutes because what they perceive that we have, we've only gotten through struggle. And they think we are the thing they see, but we're a culmination of all of the, even the bad stuff that's happened. And
even
we all, every single one of us have bad stuff.
Even
whether
the bad.
It's health, family, finances, whatever it is, in whatever category. And I wish people would come up to us and ask us about it.
If you see us, you need to come up to us.
Yes.
Because, I mean, like, so I hired Tiffany, Vandermark Partners. I hired them as my marketing people because there are things that I don't do well.
Right.
I mean, they're just things that I don't do well.
Yeah.
And so when you surround yourself with people that's going to help you grow, man, the sky's the limit.
Because we're not an island.
We're not an island.
No.
Come on.
We're not going that way.
Preach to us, Sandra. Come on.
This is your guest podcast.
Oh, okay.
I'm just leading it.
You're just leading. All right.
Anything else you would like to leave us with?
No, I just want you to know that I'm proud of you, though. Because we've had conversations, and I remember when you said you wanted to do this, and it takes courage to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I just want you to know that you are an example.
Thank you.
Of relentless faith, of relentlessness.
Thank
like
you,
so you are relentless in what you do and growing your business and your family as a wife, as a mom, as a friend. You're relentless.
Well, thank you so much. And it's because of people like you that are on my team. And I thank you for that.
It's on.
Very deeply. I thank you for being here with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
For giving us the time and giving the content to the people that are listening. And I hope they pick up what I tell my clients with physical things, body work. If you pick up one thing, this is a long podcast, one little tiny thing and implement it tomorrow, it will make huge change.
Yes.
Huge change. So that's going to wrap up this first ever. I need you back in a year for the year anniversary.
I'll be back. I'll be back.
For the first ever podcast, being relentless in your health. Finding true health and happiness takes that relentless approach. And that's what we want to be here for you to do. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we will see you on the next one. Thanks.
Peace.